Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something pretty specific, actually.
Yeah, a deep dive into a very particular type of guide.
Exactly. It's the Hunter's Edition Father's Day Gift Guide from the American Hunting Lease Association blog. And the promise here wasn't just, you know, here's some stuff. It was gifts dads would love, but wouldn't actually buy for themselves.
Right, and that's the key. When you really look at what they picked, it tells you a lot. It's more than just product.
You see priorities shifting.
Yeah, right. Totally. You see this move from just like basic equipment towards thinking about safety almost like occupational hazards. And how tradition mixes with new tech and even these huge sort of strategic investments hunters might make.
Yeah, we definitely saw that. It was this mix of like super practical, rugged stuff, some surprising safety things, a bit of humor.
Culinary tools, definitely.
Oh, yeah. And then this ultimate gift idea that, well, it loops right back to the organization that wrote the post.
No surprise there, maybe.
Maybe not. So the guide kicks off telling you basically forget the fertilizer dad needs.
Right. Get him something awesome. That's the quote.
So where do they start with awesome? How does the list begin?
Well, they go for immediate impact and efficiency, I guess. It starts with this personalized hunting crate from a company called Man Crates.
Okay. Price point.
It's around $100, give or take. And it's really positioned as this like foolproof starter kit.
Okay, a starter kit.
Yeah.
But what makes this crate better than just, you know, grabbing a few hunting things and sticking them in a box yourself?
It's partly the curation, sure, but I think it's mostly the delivery, the experience of it.
Oh, okay.
So inside, you get a personalized Stanley insulated bottle, a Tac Force folding knife, stormproof matches.
Standard stuff so far.
Pretty standard, yeah. Then there's Duke Cannon's hunting soap and some camo face paint. But the clever bit.
Go on.
It ships in this wooden crate, like a proper crate, and it comes with a little crowbar.
Oh, I see. So you actually have to pry it open.
Exactly. The fun, or maybe the work, depending on your dad, starts the second it arrives. Dad wouldn't buy himself that whole performance.
That's actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
So that's a good tone.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving beyond accessories, the guide takes a bit of a turn, right? Towards safety.
Yeah, a really sharp and honestly necessary turn. And it highlights something people definitely need but probably ignore.
Which is?
The silicone wedding ring.
Right. I saw that. It also feels like PCC, personal protective equipment.
That's exactly how they frame it. They call it the perfect gift for your husband who is a working man because it's safe.
Non-conductive.
Yeah.
Right. And it breaks away.
Precisely. It addresses a really nasty risk. The source even mentions incidents with men's wedding rings quite literally taking off the fingers.
Oof. Yeah, you hear about that. Horrible.
So for anyone active, hunter, mechanic, working outdoors, it's acknowledging a real hazard they might just, you know, push to the back of their mind.
Makes total sense. It solves a problem dad probably isn't thinking about, so someone else has to step in.
Yeah, exactly. And just quickly, on the totally other end of the spectrum, they throw in a cheap laugh, too.
Let me guess. The socks.
You got it. I'd rather be hunting socks, like $11.
Can't go wrong there.
Oh.
Good stocking stuffer or just a little add-on.
Yep. Light, funny, practical enough.
Okay, so we've got the fun crate, the serious safety ring, the joke socks. What's next? Seems like we move into more specialized tools.
We do. Things that blend utility with maybe a bit more craftsmanship. We're definitely moving up the price scale now.
Away from the pure essentials into things people might want rather than just need.
Right. And they highlight something interesting in the knife category, not just a standard fixed blade.
No. What is it?
A custom-made Damascus steel hunting kukri.
A kukri. Okay. That is different. Why a kukri, specifically?
Well, a kukri has that forward curving blade, right? It's heavier, good for chopping, more heavy-duty tasks than a typical hunting knife, maybe?
Okay.
But they don't just suggest any kukri. It's Damascus steel. They call it a piece of functional art that anyone is sure to love.
Ah, so it's about the aesthetics, too, not just function.
Exactly. It suggests an appreciation for the look and feel, beyond just, does it cut? And getting a high-end Damascus version, that feels like an investment.
Something Dad might really like, but maybe wouldn't splash out on himself over a basic functional knife.
That's the idea, I think, is maximizing utility and that pride of ownership, that aesthetic appeal.
Okay, makes sense. So the knife is kind of ancient tech, really, even if it's fancy. But what about modern tech in the field? Communication.
Oh, yeah, that's crucial. Especially if you're deliberately off-grid, away from cell signal.
Safety net, right.
Sure, sure. So what do they recommend?
They suggest the Midland 50-channel GMRS two-way radio, and it's positioned as more than just a walkie-talkie.
How so?
It's tailored for hunting, for someone who needs to be reachable, maybe for safety or coordination, but hates phone noise, hates the distraction.
Right, silence is golden when hunting. What features make it specifically for hunters, besides just talking to each other? Well, first, the look. It's got the mossy oak breakup country camo pattern. Gotta blend in.
Centrally.
But more functionally, it has a vibrate feature, so you can silence all the beeps and tones, keep things quiet.
Essential. Anything else?
Yeah, this was the bit that surprised me. It includes 5 specific animal call alerts.
Animal calls. Built into the radio. Like what?
Turkey, duck, crow, cougar, and wolf.
Huh. So the radio itself could be used for signaling, maybe? Or just blending in sounds?
Could be. It suggests the tech is meant to integrate into the environment, not just be a human-to-human thing. It's part of the equipment.
That's actually fascinating. Shows how tech has to adapt to the etiquette of the hunt. Okay, before we hit the really big-ticket items, there's one more thing.
One more sort of mid-range item, yeah. And this one leans into tradition and maybe leisure.
Okay.
The Duck Hunter flask.
Ah, the flask, of course.
Yep. And the source is pretty upfront about it. Quote, "There is just something right about booze and duck hunting."
Direct. I'll give him that.
It's presented as a nice one, though. High quality, letter wrapped. This isn't really about safety or utility.
No, this is about the ritual, right? The social side.
Exactly. The shared experience, the toast after a long wait, the camaraderie. It's a nod to the established traditions. Nostalgia, almost.
Right. Okay. That covers the gear side nicely. But, you know, getting the game is only half the battle. What about after the hunt?
Ah, yes. The guy definitely pivots there, big time, to enjoying the spoils.
The culinary angle, where they identify the undisputed champion.
They call it the King of Father's Day Presents, capital K-I-N-G.
Okay. Laying it on thick. What is it?
The Traeger Pellet Grill, a wood pellet grill slash smoker.
Right. Traegers are huge now. But why specifically for a hunter? Couldn't any grill do the job?
Well, think about wild game. Venison, for example, which they mentioned. It can be lean, needs careful cooking.
Low and slow, often.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A pellet smoker gives you that precise temperature control for smoking, slow roasting. It really helps you make the most of the harvest, turn it into, you know, really high quality food.
So it's about respecting the animal, using it properly.
That's definitely part of the pitch. But it's also framed as an investment in, like, shared family enjoyment. They even say, you can also expect dad to take over more of the cooking.
Huh. So it's a gift that potentially benefits everyone. Smart.
Gets dad involved in the kitchen, or rather the patio. Brings the hunt full circle, sharing the results. Validates the effort.
Okay, so if you get the King of Grills, you probably need the Royal Cookbook to go with it.
You'd think so. And they recommend the Meat Eater Fish and Game Cookbook.
Meat Eater, okay. That's Steve Rinella's brand, right? He's huge in the hunting world.
Exactly. They call him one of the biggest stars in the industry, so that brings instant credibility. The book itself is positioned as the end-all be-all guide.
Covering everything.
Over 100 recipes, apparently, for all kinds of game. Not just the prime cuts, but how to use, you know, the whole animal. It's about ensuring that success in the field translates to success on the table. Sophisticated knowledge.
Okay, so we've gone from... what, $11 socks?
Right up through serious safety gear like the Ring.
Fancy art knives, specialized radios.
Thousands on a smoker and the cookbook to match.
Seems like we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
But there's one more item, isn't there? The biggest one?
Oh, yeah. The grand finale. And this one completely changes the game. It shifts focus from what you hunt with to where you hunt.
This is where it gets really interesting, I think.
It really does, because it asks a fundamental question. What good is all the best gear, the kukri, the radio, the smoker, if you don't have a good, reliable place to actually use it?
So the final recommendation is?
A high-quality hunting lease.
Wow. Okay. That's not a small gift. We're talking a serious investment, a recurring one, too.
Massive leap. From a cookbook to, yeah, strategic real estate access.
And listening to this, you have to wonder, are they sort of subtly saying that hunting on public land just isn't good enough anymore?
I don't think it's that subtle, honestly. The guide explicitly says, forget the days of public land pressure.
Okay, yeah, not subtle at all.
The whole argument is that guys will happily spend money on gear, on the preparation, but the lease, that addresses where it happens. And they call that the most important part.
So private leases are pitched as the way of the future.
That's the exact phrase they used back in 2021 when this was written. It's presented as the move from just competing for space on public land to having exclusive, controlled access. Control over the environment is the ultimate prize.
And that brings us right back to the source, doesn't it? The American Hunting Lease Association.
Bingo.
This final recommendation isn't just advice. It's basically an ad for their entire business concept.
It is. The guide stops being just about gifts and starts promoting a whole lifestyle, one that's underpinned by, well, their services, specialized financial products, really.
Did you notice who wrote the article?
I did. Connor Hermish, listed as the marketing manager for AHLA.
Right. So the perspective is clear. It's marketing, cleverly packaged as helpful advice.
Absolutely. And if you poke around their website, beyond just the blog post,
what do you find? What confirms this business angle?
It's all about managing the risks and liabilities associated with land access for hunting. Insurance is huge.
Like what kind of insurance?
They heavily promote hunting lease insurance, specifically calling out coverage for both the hunting club and the landowner. That dual focus is key.
Protecting both sides of the lease agreement.
Exactly. Plus, vacant land insurance and insurance for guides and outfitters. It's a whole ecosystem built around making private land access for hunting secure and financially viable.
So looking back at the whole deep dive, the gift guide takes you on this journey.
Yeah, from the simple fun of prying open that crate.
To acknowledging serious risks with something like the silicone ring.
Through appreciating craftsmanship in a knife, using specialized tech like the radio.
Investing in the culinary side with the smoker and cookbook.
And finally, landing on this idea that the ultimate asset isn't the gear at all, but controlled access to land backed by specialized insurance.
It really maps out the modern, maybe aspirational, hunter's priorities, from cheap laughs to high-stakes land access.
It does, and it leaves us with a really interesting takeaway, I think. This whole journey through the gear, the best knife, the right radio, the ultimate smoker. It's all about preparation, right? Meticulous preparation.
Yeah, optimizing everything you can control.
But then the source itself, AHLA, ultimately suggests that the real key to success, the defining factor, isn't the gear or the prep. It's the location. It's having that private lease.
Mm.
So it poses this provocative question for you, the listener, to think about. Is getting access to that private, managed, insured land now seen as the most critical variable? Does it potentially override all the effort and expense put into the gear and the skills? Where's the real balance between preparing yourself meticulously and simply securing the best possible place to hunt?
That's a great question to end on. Lots to chew on there about priorities in the hunting world today.